Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, But.
Our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Job, chapter 19. Let us listen to God's word. Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and with lead, they were engraved on a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me.
We have heard John's telling of the story. Listen to the way Luke tells the same. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God, and let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for the gift that you've given to us this day, the gift of the resurrection promise. So pray now that it will be sealed into our hearts in such a way that we may live it and believe it. Lord, now may the words of my heart, mouth and the meditations of our hearts together find acceptance in your sight. For it is through Christ our Lord we pray it. Amen. Like you, I don't know how many times I have read the Easter story in each of the four Gospels. But I noticed something this year in Luke's telling that I had never noticed before. The whole Easter story, which really means the whole gospel message and all the promises of our faith, hang together on one single conjunction. The simple, hardly noticeable, often overlooked three-letter word, but. Luke ends chapter 23 of his gospel on Good Friday evening. Jesus has been crucified, dead, and buried, just as the creed tells us. The women left the tomb where they had laid his body in much the same way we left this sanctuary last Friday night. Cold and dark, lights off, doors locked. They went home to prepare the spices for his final burial, the dirty work they would have to return to at the end of the Sabbath day, that is, Sunday morning. There was nothing more they could do. This was the end of the story, and there was no good reason to think otherwise. Jesus was dead. And with him, all of their hopes and dreams and expectations that he was the promised Messiah. And now that he was dead, that certainly was not the case. Nor was he a great prophet, for now none of the things that he spoke of would come to pass. We can't even say that he was a good teacher, since he and the kingdom he promised to bring was the focal point of all of his teachings. And those, too, now seemed nothing but a lie and a deception. The women left the tomb that evening without any hope, without any expectation that anything would ever change. And the men, they didn't even bother to go to the tomb in the first place. Jesus was dead. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We too have experienced that kind of emotion, haven't we? Because we know we live in a Good Friday kind of world. We have experienced loneliness and fear, discouragement and despair. We've set our hopes on people and things that disappoint. We have felt the relentlessness of depression and addiction. We have faced injustice and inhumanity, prejudice and cruelty in ourselves as well as in others, without seeing any means of recourse or remedy. We felt the brokenheartedness and anger of rejection without any hope of forgiveness, the betrayal of friends without any hope of reconciliation, the horror of violence without any means of peace. We have cried out in the dark souls of our lives to a God who feels distant and disinterested in hearing our cries or answering our prayers. We have faced the rejection without means of redemption, opposition without recourse or new opportunity, helplessness without any sense of hope. And we, like the women at the tomb, have walked away from the graveside of a loved one and thought this is the end. Life as we know it will never be the same again, and there is no good reason to think otherwise. Oh, we know what it's like to live in a Good Friday kind of world. And that's what the world looks like and acts like and thinks like without God, without Christ, without the promise we gather to hear and to proclaim once again this morning. And if that's all there is, then we are without either help or hope in this world. But look with me at the very first word of the very first sentence of the opening of chapter 24. Luke writes, but. And that little conjunction changes everything. That simple, hardly noticeable, often overlooked three-letter words holds out the awesome possibility of reversibility, the distinct possibility that there just might be another way. That little conjunction holds all of the promise of the Easter day, of the whole of the gospel, of the whole of our faith. But on the first day of the week, a conjunction. It's little more than a transitional word used to hold two phrases, two clauses together to form a single sentence or a single thought. The word but is used, rather than say and, when a new idea is being introduced, an idea that sounds in contrast to what was stated before. But is used to indicate the possibility of reversibility, such as, well, that was then, but this is now. Or, he is dead, but now he is alive. Look again at Luke's telling. But, that's how he begins to tell the Easter story, the story of that first Easter morning, cueing us as his listeners that something different has happened, that something new is in the air, something has changed. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they, meaning the women, the men are still nowhere to be found in the story, they came to the tomb expecting to find it just as they left it, expecting to find that nothing had changed at all. And why should they? Their hopes, their dreams, their expectations had died with Jesus on the cross of Calvary. They came to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared to complete their labor of love, the work of burial, and nothing more. But we are told when they got there, they found that the stone which had sealed the tomb was rolled away. And when they went in, they didn't find the body. Now, they were perplexed by this. They didn't make any sense. Something they knew was different. Something had changed. They just didn't know what. At least they didn't know yet. Suddenly, two men dressed in dazzling clothes stood before them, and naturally the women were terrified, so they bowed their faces to the ground before them. But the men said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead. He's not here, but has risen. That's the but of the Easter story that changes everything. That simple, hardly noticeable, often overlooked conjunction frames the whole of the gospel message. All of the promises of our faith hang and hold together on this one conjunction. But he is not here, but he is alive. Friends, that one little word makes all the difference in the world. Everything changes because there is a but to the Easter story. If there is no but to this story, then there is no resurrection. There is no faith. There is no hope. There is no promise of the forgiveness of our sins. There is no everlasting life. There is no gift of salvation. Without the but of the Easter story, we are, as Paul will write to the Corinthians, a people most to be pitied because we have believed in vain. But friends, hear and believe this, the good news of the gospel. There is a but to the Easter story, and that simple little conjunction changes everything. That but links together the before and the after of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was crucified, dead, and buried. But on the third day, he arose again from the dead. And because he lives, we shall live also. Add that little conjunction to life's most difficult challenges, to any difficulty or disappointment you face, and it changes everything. We say, I feel alone and afraid, but God promises, fear not, I am with you. We say, I am broken and ashamed, but God offers his healing touch. We say, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in myself. I'm disappointed in others. But God gives us a new and living hope which never fails. We cry out, I have sinned. But God says to us, and I have forgiven you. We cry, the world is broken by violence and war. But Jesus offers us a way of peace that is beyond human understanding. We suffer injustice and inhumanity, but God promises reconciliation and redemption. As Paul writes, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not destroyed. We know we are lost, but Jesus comes and says, I am the way. We know we are confused, but Jesus leads us in the truth. We say that we are dead in our sins and trespasses, but Jesus offers us a new way of life. Since the beginning of January of this year, I have stood at the graveside with 8 families from TAB. And on Tuesday, I will stand with the 9th. During that same time, I have suffered with a congregation that I love as they lost their 37-year-old pastor, leaving a wife and 4 young children. Friends, without the but of the Easter day, I will confess to you, I have nothing to say to them. I have no comfort to give, no hope to offer. But because of the but of the resurrection, I can claim with them the promise of Jesus when he says, whoever lives and believes in me, though they may die, yet shall they live. For whosoever lives and believes in me will never die, but will have everlasting life. Admittedly, this but stands in such stark contrast to the prevailing views of our day, then and now. Cynics and skeptics alike in every age affirm that ancient teaching, no life lives forever and dead men rise up never. That's the reason that even the disciples didn't believe the women when they came to tell them this good news. I mean, what they were saying just didn't make any sense. Death and new life just don't fit in the same sentence together. The difference is just too great. The good news, too good to hear. So Luke tells us, but these words seemed as idle tales to them, and they did not believe them. And many still today hear this Easter message in much the same way. Oh, say what you want, preacher. Believe what you want, church. Nothing has ever changed and nothing ever will. But there it is again, that little conjunction in verse 12. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. Something prompted him to get up and go to see for himself. And on that but of an inquiring faith, the church was founded. And the church continues still today. On that but, the gates of hell were breached and the fear of death has been destroyed. On that but, the promise is given of forgiveness of sins and resurrection to new life everlasting. On that but, hope is restored that this is not all there is to life, that those who die with Christ will also rise to live with him once again. On that but, we stake our claim with Job, that I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God. On that but, the whole hope and promise is assured that one day the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever. Friends, the whole of the gospel, all of the promises of our faith rest on the but of the Easter story. Oh, we know the experience of Good Friday. But now it's Sunday. Jesus was dead. But now he is alive. And because of that simple, little, hardly noticeable, often overlooked conjunction, everything has changed. And to that we say, thanks be to God. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this glorious promise that you have given to us in the resurrection. Help us, even us, now to claim it once again. Lord, speak its truth into the silence of our hearts, that we may hear it, receive it, believe it, and live it. To your honor and glory, we pray. Now and always, Lord, hear our prayer.